Governor Todd Lamb, pretty big couple of months for you, a little bit of time here. What is going on with you, and what's happening right now?
Well, Ben, it's great to visit with you and great to be on the radio program as usual and talk to my friends in Washington County, but the surrounding area in northeast Oklahoma. I travel pretty consistently as lieutenant governor, and that's not changed. I remain on the road talking to our citizens, learning from our citizens, hearing what's concerning Oklahoma's all around the state. Just last week, I went to McAlester, and I visited the McAlester Ammunition Plant. And that is a significant military installation in Oklahoma. It has a several hundred million dollar impact. And almost every bomb that the Air Force and Navy uses is manufactured in McAlester, Oklahoma. So I saw the difference that Oklahomans are making in the area of the war on terror, but also just the significance and the economic impact that plan has in McAlester. Recently, I've been in Pottawatomie County in Shawnee. I talked to a manufacturer there, you know, what he does with exporting his goods. About 20% of his products exports, he exports around the world. And I don't know the exact date, Ben, but I know the time is approaching quickly because I just had a meeting in my office yesterday that I'm returning to Bartlesville, and it's going to be on a Friday, and we're going to have a really, really good visit.
And I think that a lot of people, and I'll preface this, but I'm a little bit younger and I'm not as versed in the political climate as some might be, like Charlie. But the economy is something, and money is something that I think a lot of Oklahomans and people, at least my age, who are living here, is worried about. In creating money and creating just things in general to make those money, is it positive signs making that, obviously making it for the Air Force and whatnot, but still something is being created, and that's a good sign, right?
Well, Ben, you hit the nail on the head. What's important for any commodity, a local commodity, a local economy, state economy, a federal economy, what's important is that we are making and manufacturing, fabricating a product. I mean, that's just so important. It's important that we can extract things, grow things, sell things. But really, a significant impact for an economy is manufacturing and fabrication. So the fact that we are doing that in Oklahoma, but are we doing it to a degree that is significant, and are we on a growth pattern of increasing our manufacturing? That's just very important for any commodity. That's not to say other things aren't important, but manufacturing is significant. There's manufacturing going on in Nowata, Bartlesville, other places, but that's just a real strength for any economy. So the challenge we have in Oklahoma is not just the economy, what's going in, what's going out, per capita income, but also making sure that the legislative body budgets well, and that's another challenge we've seen with our economy in the recent years.
And of course, I think we're all aware of budget crises and thinking about things like that. So I guess is the first step into solving this possibly creating jobs, getting a revenue flow going in there.
Well, you're right. In Oklahoma for years has been very dependent on two commodity prices and hydrocarbons, oil and gas, and commodity prices in agriculture. Now, Oklahoma never will, nor should we ever divorce ourselves from ag or hydrocarbons. That's not what I'm about to suggest here. But like the state to the south of us, the state of Texas, they were very much like Oklahoma for decades and generations, had very cyclic economic patterns, very cyclic state budgets. They got sick and tired of being sick and tired. And here's what they did then. They diversified their economy. So as I travel around the state of Oklahoma, what they're talking about, what I want to do in the future, just what's important right now. It's very paramount that Oklahoma gets away from managing crisis to crisis, meaning a vision is not what are we going to do next week, what should be tackled even next legislative session. It's time to start talking about a vision and a plan for Oklahoma, asking what do we want and need Oklahoma to look like in 15 years, 10 years, 12 years. Okay, that's the model, that's the paradigm, that's the goal. Okay, now, smaller questions, how do we get there with our education system, our economy, infrastructure, criminal justice? There are a lot of questions that precipitate from the macro question, and what's our goal? What do we really need and want Oklahoma to look like in the future?
And of course, that you and it's been publicized that you are going to be running for governor, but as lieutenant governor right now, those are things that you are currently working on as we speak. I think you're in a unique opportunity that, yeah, you're running for governor, but you also have the opportunity to do things now as we're speaking, and of course you're working towards that.
Well, you're right, and we've had a new approach as lieutenant governor. I think there's a perception now that the lieutenant governor is largely responsible for economic development. I'm glad that that's the perception of the office, but I think it's because we've talked about it for the time that I've served in this capacity, that there's no real official role with the lieutenant governor in economic development, job growth, the economy. But it's been so important to me. That's what I've been talking about during my time serving in this capacity, and I'll continue to do that. Whether it's as a campaign on the trail, a candidate on the trail, or my official capacity as lieutenant governor, I care deeply about the future of our state. And, you know, Ben, you mentioned earlier that you're a little younger than some of us. I'll confess I'm a little selfish here for the next generation. Our son is 17. Our daughter just turned 14. I want to make sure there's an opportunity for them in Oklahoma once they finish their educational pursuits in our state.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about that then. Education and that is something that is, I think, on the minds of a lot of Oklahomans right now, as Oklahoma is seen as not particularly the best as far as its education is concerned, and it's definitely something that's been on the minds of a lot of Oklahomans and definitely been a crisis in some communities for that matter. What do we need to do to get our education back to standard?
Well, there's not just one thing we need to do, but the priority needs to be to make sure we take care of our teachers more so and better than we are. Now, another confession here and another just full disclosure, I'm married to a classroom teacher. My wife, Monica, has taught in the Tulsa Public School System, Oklahoma City Public. She now teaches in a rural school district northwest of Oklahoma City. So I'm married to a classroom teacher. I have an unpaid education advisor that I live with and have lived with for 22 years now as of this Friday. But so we need teacher pay, significant teacher pay, and we really need to move away, and I understand why some do this, but move away from the idea of shooting for the regional average, whether it's regional average of teacher pay or regional average of rigor in the classroom. Because here's the challenge with if you shoot for the regional average, two problems with that. One, you might attain it and you're average within the region. Two, you don't attain it, and then you're still below average. So the goal needs to be a little bit bigger and higher, I would offer, whether it's teacher pay or something else that's important, reform and rigor inside the classroom. Right now, 40% of all high school graduates have to be remediated when they go to college. You know, and former State Senator John Ford he used these numbers all the time when he served in the state Senate. And I know Senator Daniels picked this baton up when she came in, but it's an indictment on the policy, not on teachers, not on our schools. It's an indictment on the policy that we've allowed this in Oklahoma, where 40% of our high school graduates must be remediated when they go to college. So teacher pay, additional rigor, making sure we have our students prepared when they go off to college, and making sure that our students are secure and safe, and that's one thing I've led in our state, the security and safety of our students when they're inside our classroom walls.
And do you see kind of a trend starting, I guess, with education as far as, you mentioned teacher pay. Some teachers are leaving Oklahoma to go elsewhere to other states, which creates the need for the emergency certifications for those teachers, which could possibly create the gap as far as learning, where high school seniors who graduate might need that remediation.
Frankly, I think that's a concern. Now, it's important that we have the emergency certification process when a teacher is needed in a specific school or district or part of the state. It's important, and I think that certification process is fine, but it's alarming when we have such a high rate of emergency certifications. Let's face it, teaching is not easy. Again, I know this firsthand. My wife is a fantastic school teacher, but other than subject matter, she's trained in how to teach, how to communicate, the process and the flow of the entire school day, when to take break. It's just very, very important, the process and knowing how to teach. So just because you have a PhD in subject matter does not mean you know how to communicate to others, does not know that you know how to teach, does not know that you'd be very effective inside the classroom. So with some of the pattern we've seen develop with the emergency certifications, it's nice that we can fill a hole with that process, but I don't think that's how we want to staff our education and staff our schools all throughout Oklahoma.
Absolutely, and not to put down emergency certification teachers, absolutely necessary right now in our time in Oklahoma.
It's helpful, but it's not how we want. It's not how we want to staff our schools going forward.
Sure, and I think that a lot of things and the reason that education is I think on a lot of people's minds is there's so many things that have happened and talked about. It's been a very hot topic recently last year, and we've seen things in as government as far as our political leaders that we've elected say yes, we need to do this, but no, we can't really find a way as far as teacher pay increases and whatnot. When we talk about government and as far as our elected leaders going in there, as governor should be, if you should get elected, do you see them being able to work together with everybody from both sides of the aisle?
Are you saying, can I do that?
Yes.
Yeah. I think I'm the only one that's proven in this area. Not just a proven conservative and a proven leader and somebody that's been proven to stand up for what's right. I have a lot of that in my background, but I've been proven that I can work with both sides of the aisle and bring everybody together. And when I was elected to the state Senate, my party was in the minority. A couple of years later, we were in a tie, 24 Republicans, 24 Democrats. My last 2 years in the state Senate, I was majority full leader, the number two guy in the Senate, kind of like the chief operating officer. I had to work with both parties every day to get legislation through the Senate chamber, working with the Democrat governor as a Republican. So that's important that you have to bring everybody together and you work toward moving Oklahoma forward, because everybody is a member of a political party. That's our process. Everybody's born an Oklahoman. You're an Oklahoman first, and then you develop a desire to join a party or be engaged in one political conviction over another. But working together is very, very important.
Well, we've talked a little bit about your campaign, but of course you still have not only a job in that, but you've got a job to do as Lieutenant Governor currently. What's next on your schedule for things you've got to do?
Well, just the day-to-day schedule, specific answer, I'm on the road today. I'm talking to the statewide Sheriff's Association. I spent some time with them last night at a dinner. I'm a former law enforcement guy. I'm a former special agent with the United States Secret Service. I'm a former, gun toter, badge wearer. So I love spending time with law enforcement, talking to them what the issues and the needs are at the local county courthouse level. So I'm gonna speak to them this morning, keynote their kickoff session today in Midwest City. I go to Sand Springs later today to talk to a manufacturer there, somebody that I've spent a lot of time with. Actually, she does some steel tubing, her company does. Spend time with her executives in Germany, learning more about the manufacturing industry a few years ago. And then I have an event tonight in Sepulpa where I talk to some builders and contractors. And, when you talk to these folks that are making things and building things on a regular basis, you really get an understanding on how strong, how weak, or how neutral the economy really is. So today will be another day of me listening, learning, but also talking. Every time I talk to somebody, Ben, like I did last night with a group of folks at dinner, I said, what are your challenges that are state-related? What's the policy that's in your way? Now, I like asking another question. If you were king for a day, what would you do to change Oklahoma? If you just wave the scepter, not worrying about the legislature, what positive change would you like to see made in real time and not the slow process of legislative action? So that's kind of the next 24 hours. And, I go to every county every year, all 77, already been to the Panhandle this year, headed out to Northwest Oklahoma and Woodward next week. And I'll be on the road. And like I said, I wish I could remember the day, but I'm coming to Bartlesville soon. And it's going to be a full day in Bartlesville as usually. I think it's toward the end of August. I think it's when I'm headed back to see the Bartians and my friends in Washington County, Northeast Oklahoma.
We'll look on the calendar and make sure we make some announcements about that. But as somebody who is younger, it is exciting to hear that sometimes I think that my generation thinks that government, people who are elected, once they're elected, they don't have to go figure out what the people want. They don't have to go and listen. They're just there doing their own thing. So it's exciting to hear that people who are elected, people who are running the state, if you will, are going out and listening to the people who voted for them.
Well, Ben, thanks for saying that. I'm the only one that does that every county, every year. And, you know, just another example, if I go to Bartlesville and I go to Sonic and I get a Limeade and I leave town, I don't count that as a visit to Bartlesville or to Washington County. It has to be a visit of substance, talking to the citizens, going around. And, you know, even if I go by Earl Sears Park and I clip the grass for Earl, you know, or pull one dandelion, I don't count that. I've got to talk to folks, talk to educators, talk to manufacturers and business leaders. I had to get that shout out because, you know, Earl has this wonderful park. I told him it should be everybody's life dream and life ambition to have a beautiful park named after them whenever they finish a career. And Earl's got that accomplishment. He's a great guy. And let me say one more thing, if I can, Ben, real quickly.
Absolutely.
One thing I've learned from Earl Sears is this. Oklahoma's sending too much money out the door. We push out the door, the state government, not me, but the state government pushed out the door roughly $6.9 billion in exemptions, credits, and incentives. We talk about the budget challenge in Oklahoma, and we had $878 million last year. Well, Earl's a great example. He's been in my office many times talking about we don't have a revenue problem. We're pushing billions of dollars out the door. So I want to give a shout-out to Earl and thank him for his dedication and commitment to the budget of Oklahoma.
Absolutely. And real quick before we go, if someone's listening, they're like, well, I want more information. I want some way I can find out what you're doing, what you're up to. Do you have a website or any place that people can go?
Yeah, absolutely. Anybody can go to votetoddlam.com. You know, we had a group of millennials and creative specialists work hours on that domain name. It's just real simple. It's real easy. Votetoddlam.com. They can go on there, shoot an email, read a little bit about the agenda. There's a phone number there. They can contact us a number of ways or get us on Facebook or Twitter. We're out there also.
Lieutenant Governor Todd Lamb, Mr. Lamb, I appreciate your time this morning.
Hey, thanks, Ben. We'll see you soon in Bartlesville. Have a great day.